This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And consider the difference a year makes. A year ago, the CPAC Conservative Political Action Conference was all about how to stop Donald Trump. This year, he's the guest of honor as President of the United States.
You know, my first major speech was at CPAC, and probably 5 or 6 years ago, first major political speech, and you were there. And it was, I loved it. I loved the people. I loved the commotion. And then they did these polls where I went through the roof and I wasn't even running, right? But it gave me an idea.
On the other hand, and on another spoke of the Beltway around Washington, D.C., there's an election going on for chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Heard of them? Unlike last year, there is no confident, unified, flag-waving team of donkeys led by Debbie Wasserman Schultz. No. Schultz first got outed by Russian hackers, apparently, and then discredited by the Bernie Sanders campaign. Now, where are the Democratic leaders of tomorrow? That's the humble question posed at the DNC this year, where DNC might just stand for damage control.
We need an organizer leading the DNC.
I spent the bulk of my career working on police reform.
We need to be spending more time in rural America. We need to be spending more time in our communities of color where we can lift people up and get them involved in the process.
The Democratic Party has not done a good enough job of making young people and all people connected to this party.
Intersectionality. I'm a walking intersectionality. I'm a left-handed Maltese American Episcopalian gay war veteran. All right.
Seven declared candidates for DNC chair took to the stage on Wednesday night, underscoring the huge void in leadership between the noise of Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer here in liberal New York on the East Coast and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi on the liberal West Coast in California. What about all the voting American Democrats in between, especially those Democrats supposedly energized by 8 years of Barack Obama all over the country? What happened to Organizing for America, or OFA? Why wasn't it a force multiplier for the DNC, supposedly representing the newfound momentum and enthusiasm that elected Barack Obama? Howard Dean served as chairman of the Democratic National Committee from 2005 to 2009. He served 6 terms as governor of Vermont and is a former presidential candidate as well. He's endorsed a long-shot candidate for winning the DNC chair position, Pete Buttigieg, a 35-year-old Harvard-educated Rhodes Scholar and veteran who is mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Howard Dean says it's time for out with the old, in with the new, and he means it quite literally.
The DNC is basically the organizational end of the party. It doesn't have a lot to do with policy. It does have a lot to do with how well things are organized. It's not a democracy, although we try to make it somewhat of a democracy. We should, because the Democratic Party is incredibly complicated. It's not sort of unicolored like the Republican Party. There's a lot of different kinds of people in the Democratic Party. So if you don't have somewhat of a democracy, then you really are ineffective in a party that's as diverse as we are. But the chairman sets the agenda. The chairman is responsible for raising all the money. I mean, there are people who do that, the treasurer, the finance chair, the finance staff. But the chairman really is responsible for making sure that all the things that get done. And then more importantly, the chairman is pretty much the chief decider in how the money gets spent. And the money can't be spent on Congress and the Senate, which much of course that's what they want to do. But the money has to be spent outside the Beltway.
And where is the leadership in the DNC right now, in the Democratic Party right now?
Well, there's plenty of leadership in the Democratic Party in waiting. My generation is clogging up the works, but there's a ton of young, great leaders. The one is a bit of a long shot, is I'm backing for chair, is Pete Buttigieg, who's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, 2 tours of duty in Afghanistan, a Rhodes Scholar, 36 years old. That's the face of the new Democratic Party. Whether the old guys are willing to get out of the way yet or not, I'm not sure.
Should Pelosi go? Should Chuck Schumer go?
Yeah, I learned that my term in the DNC that I stay out of congressional politics. But there are a lot of good people in the House and the Senate who are going to be running for president, and I hope most of them are under 60.
Is it about the presidency? Isn't it about the state and local governments, particularly now the levels of organization in this democracy that have little to do with the federal government? Isn't it about packing those levels of government with candidates and possible leaders for the future? The Republicans are way ahead of the Democrats.
They are. They kicked our butts for the last 8 years. But on the other hand, we kicked their butts for the 4 years before that. So, yes, the answer is we've got a long way to go. We haven't focused as we should have on local politics at all, and we need to do that. And that means, look, Washington is like middle school on steroids. It's a completely different world than most of us live in, and they're ineffective.
What is the difference between Keith Ellison and Tom Perez, in your view?
They're both really good people. They're both inside the Beltway people who've been endorsed by all kinds of prominent senators and congressmen and so forth. Unfortunately, the election has been somewhat polarized, which is another reason I'm supporting Pete. So, I think that's problematic. I think what we don't need now is a rerun of the election that we just had. But look, I want the generation that fueled my campaign, fueled Bernie's campaign, and fueled Obama's campaigns to be in charge now. We're going to have to fundamentally change how we do campaigns in this country and fundamentally change how we think about government and fundamentally change the way we talk to each other. This new generation's got plenty of faults, just like every generation, but they're pragmatic. They're not ideological. They're interested in facts. They are willing to work together across lines. They're slightly more conservative than most Democrats about money, and they are completely with us on social justice issues. That seems to me that that's the generation we ought to put in the saddle to prepare ourselves. They're also going to be voting longer than any other age group. This is not just a 50-year state strategy. It's a 50-year strategy. They're going to be voting for 50 years. I think their time is now, and I don't think we should put this off any longer.
But didn't the Obama campaign mobilize that group precisely in 2008? We have a clip here that I want to play from a New Republic article author, Mika Sifri, who talked about how the Obama campaign really created this whole leadership class and mobilized millennials and new generation. And here's what he said happened to it.
50,000 of the people who reply say they're interested in running for local or state office. This mass number of people who have been so activated by the success and the experience and the training that they have in community organizing, they want to keep going. Instead, what happens is the campaign people get together in Chicago and they basically decide, of course, this is going to be controlled by the DNC. We're going to call it Organizing for America instead of Obama for America, but they keep the same platform, it's still the same list, and it's all going to just sit inside the DNC. And now that, John, is where you start getting emails asking to buy coffee mugs and sign thank you notes supporting congressmen who have, endorsed the president's agenda, but they never used it as a tool to pressure Democrats who are being obstructionist or Republicans who are being obstructionist. They never used it as a tool to support local candidates who wanted to run. And as a result, early in the Obama administration, this giant grassroots muscle starts to atrophy.
Did you allow a giant grassroots millennial political muscle to atrophy in the DNC?
Well, I wasn't there at the time. I had left the DNC after Obama won. I also think there's a few inaccuracies in there. OFA was actually organized outside the DNC, which is one of the reasons. Look, the DNC always atrophies when we have a president of our own party. Same thing happened under Bill Clinton. It becomes the reelect movement for the president. In this case, OFA actually drained revenues away from the DNC. The DNC is essentially run by the White House political director when you have an incumbent president. So I would disagree a little bit with Mika. I don't think that the DNC was the OFA may have been ostensibly housed in the DNC, but the DNC was essentially the leadership of the DNC was really coming out of the White House political office, which is what happens on the Republican side as well. I think there was a fundamental mistake, too, in the organizational capacity to think that you can mobilize people for a particular issue in the same way that you can mobilize them for a candidate is a big mistake. And I think that's the mistake they made. But you really cannot transfer the popularity of a particular individual to a series of issues. That you have to let people choose, and you cannot house that in the DNC. And it wasn't housed in the DNC.
Whether it's housed
in
the DNC.
They did that because they had a problem with fundraising. They couldn't figure out if they're going to fundraise into the DNC or into OFA. And as a result, they did both. And that hurt the DNC even more than it would have been hurt anyway by having an incumbent president.
But if there were 50,000 people who wanted to run for local office,
right,
and nothing was done with them, does that begin to explain why the Democrats have, you know, state control in just six states versus the Republicans?
That certainly does. What should have happened is they should have continued with the 50-state strategy and then turned all those folks over to the state and local parties and to re-energize the parties, which is what I did when I left and DFA was created. Our motto was, look, I didn't win, but go out and change the Democratic Party. And you can do one of three things. You can join the Democratic Party, or you can try a hostile takeover, which is actually what Bernie has done in some of the parties, in the state parties, or you can just set up your own organization. All three of them were done. As a result, Democracy for America exists today, 12 years after I ran and did not win. OFA, I think, is now we're going to try something different. If Pete wins, we will. What we really need to do is connect local activists with the state and, most importantly, local parties. This generation is doing it already. There's something called Swing Left, which already has a couple of 100,000 people signed up, tons of people signed up, including many, many women, to run for office locally. That is what has to happen. And I see a new DNC coming out of this if Pete wins, who's 36 years old. Look, this young generation doesn't like institutions because they're clunky, they're slow, and they're unnecessary in many ways. But they are necessary to expand the reach of people beyond their own life cycle, both politically and literally. That's what we have to do. We have to coordinate. We have to let these young folks who are now in their 30s, who started in my campaign 12 years ago when they were in their early 20s, we have to let them do this the way they want with some guidance and some coordination. And that's a fundamental change in the mission of the DNC, which is why I'm supporting Buttigieg.
What about Barack Obama and Michelle Obama? What do you do with them? I mean,
they could be incredibly helpful raising money for us. I mean,
right.
That's always, and they would be great doing that. But they're not going to direct the DNC. It's not going to work. This is an organization that has to come from the grassroots up, or we're going to fail as a party and the DNC will become irrelevant. And these organizations are going to happen anyway. Whether the DNC is going to be coordinating them and working with them is what's at stake here.
So when does he get back in? What does Trump have to do to get him really involved?
He's already in. I mean, look, he deserves a vacation. He deserves to get his life back together again after the most intense 8 years that any human being could spend. But the DNC's got to get itself together, and then we're going to work all that stuff out.
And you'll be involved?
Well, it depends who wins.
Howard Dean, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Howard Dean was chairman of the Democratic National Committee from 2005 to 2009, a six-term governor of Vermont, and former presidential candidate.
The Takeaway is supported by Squarespace, a website-building platform that helps businesses, entrepreneurs, and individuals to create websites, portfolios, online stores, and more. Learn more at squarespace.com. Squarespace. Make your next move. New York Presbyterian, where two Ivy League medical schools combine in their commitment to teach, practice, and expand the frontiers of medicine. Amazing things are happening here. More at nyp.org/amazingadvances.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.